Miriam Bill, as you all know. I'm going to go ahead and present it here and turn it over to you.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm going to offer what amounts to an amendment to the language that the House put into Senate File 86, known colloquially as the Lignite Amendment. As you know, the original bill came over from the Senate to the House, is the bill that, at least in my worldview, was the one that would fix it, the problem that we've created for ourselves. However, that didn't seem politically possible, so we amended it with the language was recommended that 2,500 megawatts of capacity be aggregated and be available for power purchase agreements, and that it was aimed at the power plants that are in North Dakota fueled by the beneficiated lignite, basically. Madam Chair, in further discussions over the last couple days, because at the end of the day, we want a bill that can get signed, because we have some of our cooperative power companies in particular that are facing some real issues and some real problems that are going to constrain growth. It seems that we want to step back maybe a little more for that, and I don't want to sound like I'm backpedaling here, but what I'm trying to be is realistic. So, Madam Chair, I'd like to move to direct staff that on line 2.3 of the House version, where it says 2,500 megawatts, we instruct them to build an amendment that's based around 1,500 megawatts, maybe perhaps on line 2.5, 2.6, if staff is paying attention to writing this down, I hope. Madam Chair, that we strike the language that specifies that this is to be a lignite-based process and can be open to low-sulfur sub-bituminous coal or anything else that makes sense, actually. And then takes care of some of the technical language beginning on line 2.9. And I think that if we direct them to do that within the next hour or so, they can have an amendment that we could actually discuss and vote on. And so I don't know, Madam Chair, that that's actually an amendment as much as it is just direction to staff. And a suggestion to you, Madam Chair, that we let staff work on that. We can certainly discuss it right now if you wish, but then perhaps in a few moments declare a recess for a length of time that would allow Mr. Fuller and others to draft the language that we think we can actually pass here this evening.
Thank you, Representative Beard. My hope is to get this done tonight. And as Representative Beard mentioned, this is obviously a tremendous compromise, and I think it's a very good move to change the megawatts and work on the language going forward this summer, too, on our existing language. I'm not sure if we've got some people that need to leave, so I'm wondering if we just should open it up for discussion, if anybody has discussion about these changes, and then just realize that, what would you like to do? Would you like to come back and take a vote, or can we just go ahead and drop the language, the report, and then walk around and get everybody's signatures?
Madam Chair,
do you have any comments?
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, having been through several conference committee adoptions the last couple days in the House, I would suggest that we actually reconvene the meeting and vote on the amendment and get that on the public record and then collect the signatures, even if all of us can't be here, if we have a quorum, and at least have a public and open discussion about the proposed amendment. I think that would probably be the best for the process. I don't know that there's anything in front of us at the moment to vote on, but certainly we've given Mr. Fuller, I think, some direction. And I don't see Mr. Eloff here at the moment, but that we've given him direction. And if he would like to, I'd be interested in his comments. If he needs more time or if he has enough direction, perhaps he could shed a little light on this discussion, too.
And Mr. Fuller, if you could comment on the change of the megawatts, the lignite language, and also page 2.9, the first come, first serve project eligibility, and the reason for those changes, too. Mr. Fuller?
Well, Madam Chair, my understanding is that the staff has been instructed to prepare an amendment, perhaps in the form of a conference committee report and an amendment that would reduce the exemption from 2,500 to 1,500. It would remove the specificity about the type of coal feedstock and then would make the technical changes necessary so that this exemption can be administered in a way that according to its terms. And so there's some authority that will keep track of this and perhaps be involved in certifying the exemptions so that it's not so it can be controlled consistent with the provisions that we've been instructed to amend. So with respect to process, it's correct, as you said, Madam Chair, that it's not necessary to reconvene if members have to leave. You can circulate a report. We'll certainly try to get it back in an hour, but one never knows.
I think Mr. Fuller will definitely reconvene and take a vote on it. But could you also go back to the line 9 and talk about the first come, first serve project eligibility?
Madam Chair, perhaps some further instruction might be helpful. Is it the committee's desire to...
Mr. Fuller, can you pull your microphone to you?
Oh, yeah. Pull my mouth to the microphone.
Pull your mouth to the microphone.
maybe some further instruction on whether it's that concept you wish to retain or whether you want to entertain other notions that will protect the public interest and making sure that this exemption is awarded in the fashion consistent with the underlying intent of the section that it's in and administered in a way that limits the exemptions in a manner that is consistent. So it's not totally clear to me at this moment that you desire to retain that language in its current form or whether you're asking me for options on what else we could do. I think the tension, I think what we'll deliberate about is between sort of a gold rush type of event where people just come in and file and they snap up that 1500 and, you know, do they mark it? What do they do with it? And something other than that that makes sure that these exemptions produce plants and power purchase agreements that are as much as can be in the public interest. So I think that's a further discussion that I'll try to produce an amendment on for your consideration. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Representative, let's just open it up for discussion. Anybody have any comments on the Representative Beard's motion? Senator Stone?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would agree that I think I would like to see the amendment be able to read it before we actually take a final vote on it, and I think that way we can, if we have to make some adjustments or changes, then we could do it at that time.
Any thoughts, Senator Stump, to what is being proposed as far as eliminating the lignite language and compromise of 1,500 megawatts versus the House language?
Madam Chair, members, at this time I don't.
Anybody else?
Madam Chair, I think you need to change line 212 also to reflect the 1500 we agreed on. And then I think, I guess I have an understanding of what Mr. Fuller's talking about. We can meet later on tonight and do it. Would you look at maybe say 7:15, allow enough time to do it, do you think? Or you want to go sooner than that?
We'll get back to you because I think there's going to be some about an hour or so that it's going to take at least to get and then we go at 7:30.
So
and the House does too, is that
correct? House is back in at 7:45. So
we'll just leave this open.
Have that time about somewhere around a little after 7, we can do that, yeah. I would say. Done? Sounds good to me.
Madam Chair, the timeline sounds good. If we can come back here a little after 7 with language we can work with, I think that would be just fine. To Mr. Fuller's question, I heard a question there. I think he was looking for some direction. Is that what I understood, Mr. Fuller, on line 2.9? Do we want the Oklahoma land rush, or do we want something with a timeline? Like this language very specifically refers to a plant that was built beginning after April 1st, 2007. And the shortest amount of time, blah, 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 the date of construction, or a purchase power agreement with a new large facility is signed, so on and so forth. How do we give him direction on that without just letting him wonder what it is we're looking for here? Obviously, there's one thing we're trying to accommodate is the Great River problem, just to be put it on the table. Mm-hmm. The language in the timeline was drafted to mean that is probably there's only one plant in an adjacent state that fits that. But then I think the gist of going to 1,500 megawatts is that there are some other cooperatives in particular that have purchase power agreements that are expiring over the next year or so. So I'm okay with, as they expire, Mr. Fuller, as they expire in order that they can renew until the aggregate 1,500 is reached, and leaving the specificity in there for the power plant that was built on or after April 1st, 2007. I'm fine with that, members, if no one else has heartburn with that.
Representative Baird, I think it's kind of a common sense approach.
Okay.
Yep. Has it already been agreed to? And any other comments? Okay. That, we are in recess. Thank you very much. Grace, appreciate your here. Yep.